worked out there. Right. Myra's died. She was our friend, yeah? She would have been yours if you had known her. You've probably known Christians that have died. Have you? We all have we? Yeah, I think so. Meyer died on the 19th of October 2015. All right, 92 years old. A good innings, they say, at 6 a.m. And here's a question. What happened to Meyer the moment she breathed her last? She was a Christian. What happened? And a big thanks to Al Martin, who basically taken the outline of a sermon he preached once, because it was tremendous. But what happened to Meyer the moment she breathed her last? All right, that's what we're doing this morning. Now, I know the answer with unshakable certainty. What's a fool? Shout out the answer. What is a fool? In your own words, what's the answer to a fool? Yeah? A stupid person? Is that a fool? Fool? Yeah? You heard the word fool? Yeah, he's heard it. Now, in school, I was the class clown and a naughty boy, and the teacher and my father always used to call me a fool. Well, actually, I think more than the class clown, a fool is someone who doesn't know for certain what's going to happen to them when they die. That's the ultimate foolish, stupid thing, isn't it? More than being the class clown. As I'm preaching now with certainty on what has happened to a Christian, you need to ask yourself, do I know for sure what's happening when I die? Because it is appointed for you to die. It's appointed. It's on God's calendar. Happened to be October 15th. I mean, it's quite mental, isn't it, to think before the foundation of the world on God's calendar was Myers' death day, and it said October 2015 at 6 a.m. That's sobering, isn't it? Well, it's coming to everyone. So what happened to Maya the moment she breathed her last? Now, to understand that, what death is, we need to first understand what life is. All right, so bear with me. Your body is made up of two parts. Any guesses of what that might be according to the Bible? What makes a life? Go. Part one. What? Soul is what? Soul or spirit? Correct. That's kind of the Bible interchanges between soul and spirit. And what's the other part of a living human? Flesh, body. Yeah, body. Good. So you got two things today making you up as you're looking at me. You got your eyes and your arms and stuff. That's your body. There's another part. There's life. Your soul. And you find that in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm not looking it up. And Matthew 10, which says, do not fear those who can just kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul, God. So he will destroy both body and soul. So you're made up of two. And to die is the separation of body and soul. If your body separates from your soul, you are dead. That's what happened to mine. For as the body without the spirit is dead, no spirit, no life, so faith without works is dead. And when Jesus died, he said what? To the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Off goes the spirit, body goes where? The tomb, dead. All right? So, next question is, how should we feel when somebody dies? Well, let me just ask it anyway. How do you feel? How did you feel when I texted you on Monday saying Maya had died? Gutted. Do you feel sad? You may have cried. Good. It is a sad thing. Now listen to this point, because you won't be told this in school. Death is not a natural part of life. And we all just go, there it is. It's just part of life. You're not supposed to say that. Because the Bible says death is a result of sin. It was never meant to happen. Before sin came, there was no death. Some of you, well, you're not this morning, you're getting old. Well, you are getting old, but we've got no old people left, really. Old age is a result of sin, and it's unnatural. You weren't supposed to get old. When you get old, you get these little marks on your hand, and people call them grave flowers. Do you know the marks I'm talking about? They're like moles. When they're coming, you're getting old. You are never supposed to get moly hands. And death is called the last enemy, not the last natural part of life, the last enemy. Satan had no hold on Maya. Couldn't touch her. But death did. Death got her on Monday. Yeah? And that is an enemy. And it's got her body for now. All right? And sin is a powerful enemy. I watched her die. And oh, as the body was breaking down and this death was coming her way, dear me, it's powerful. It is powerful. It is horrible. And it's come because we disobeyed God and he cursed the world and death came in. Now here's another point. Don't make any mistakes about it. Sin should be feared and God hates it. And when Meyer's body went into the grave, it was the final mark of a God who hates sin. And Meyer's body was cursed as a result of sin. It destroys people. And as we go out into a culture which waters down death and says, oh, it's just a natural part of life, just get on with it. We say, no, it's evil. It's an enemy. And it comes because of evil sin. And it's wrecking families and lives all across the world. And then we go to Romans 5. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for this verse. Yet one by one man's sin, death came. Oh, but by the other one, the other man, Jesus, life came again. So just a quick side note. Yeah, it is an unnatural separation, death. It's horrible. But for Meyer, the separation is not for long. Soon, she will get at the last sound of the trumpet when Jesus comes back. He will give her her body back from the grave and it will be without sin. Now picture Maya and those funny things you used to like about her. Her sense of humour. Now imagine her sanctified body given back to her without the taint of sin. No cellulitis in her legs. No cancer or whatever it's called, arthritis. She just gets her sanctified, perfect body back. And you see Meyer with her sense of humour and that smile without sin. It's coming at the resurrection of the last day. In fact, when a Christian dies in the Bible, it says they just fall asleep. They just fall asleep, that's it. They fall asleep. Stephen fell asleep. So with that done, what's life and death? We come back to the question, what happened to Meyer the moment she died? In that middle stage, before she gets her body back, like what happened now in the intermediate stage? And I've just got three little headings, which I stole from Al Martin. Thank you, Al. First thing that happened to Meyer when she breathed her last. You may get a bit lost with the title, but I'm going to explain it. She was immediately made morally perfect in the likeness of Jesus. You're like, what? Maya, as soon as she died, was made morally perfect in the likeness to Jesus. Now just look at the screen. This is what a Christian is predestined to. For whom God foreknew before the foundation of the world, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God picked a group of people before the foundation of the world, Meyer included, it seems, and he said, you are predestined to become like my Son Jesus. Okay? That's before the foundation of the world. And then you read in Hebrews, he's talking about people that have died. They have come to the general assembly who are in heaven, and they are called the spirits of just men made perfect. Right? When you die and you're in heaven, you are spirits, men made perfect. When Mild died, she was made immediately perfect in the moral likeness of Christ. Made perfect. It's already happened. I think the Greek, if you want to be fancy, is something like taliahos or something, or talios. It has happened to Maya. She has been made perfect. Those people that have died, it's happened. They've been made perfect, which means this. Maya was saved, I think, in 1947. That was before your birthday. Yeah? And she was saved after a Billy Graham campaign, or just before it, in London. And since 1947, she has been becoming in the likeness of Jesus. It's called sanctification. Have you heard that word, sanctification? When we become holy by the sweat and the slog of daily Christianity and putting away sin, right? So Maya's been trundling along from 1947 on, being made in the image of Jesus, right? But this means she's now made perfect. Not a little bit, it's finished. Which means when she died, she received this ocean, she wasn't in my Steg hospital anymore. She received an ocean of sanctifying, holifying grace, which just washed over her, and she became, with these spirits, made perfect immediately. So all that grace in her life from 1947 just looked like a little millisecond, a smidgen of grace compared to what washed over her the moment she died. Now, she had loads of sins. I could list them to you. I'm the pastor of this church. I could list all of your sins to everyone, but I never would. But now they're gone. They're gone. No more unkind thoughts, which we all struggle with. No more irritations. No more pride. Now she is like Christ. You remember when Isaiah saw him in Isaiah 6? Just one glimpse, he's like, I can't look, I'm too sinful. Well, when Mild died, she could look. She's got no sin. She was released to enjoy her Saviour in a radically new and powerful way the moment she died. And Christian, the youngest to the oldest, that is what's going to happen to you too. So when a Christian dies, we cry because it's miserable for us, but we don't despair because that's sinful. And what we do is we think more about what she's gained than what we have lost. Okay. Second point. She was made fully conscious of his presence. Wow. Fully conscious. Have I written this one now? Oh yeah. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says this. I'm confident, yeah, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Guess what? As you sit in front of me in Ogmore Vale now, you're kind of absent from the Lord in a certain way. You're not fully with him, are you? Like, you can know moments of him really close. And while Maya sat there in John Street, she was absent from the Lord, yeah? And then Paul then says in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. So when you die, you gain stuff. You gain him in a more real way than ever before. So Maya right now is not drugged or drowsy waiting for the resurrection of her body. She's more alive than ever and she's with him. Now some of us in this room, I have an inkling at this point, we need to repent. Because as I talk about how wonderful it will be to be with him in his company, bodily, he's got his body there and we're just with him. Some of us might be like this, well, so what? All right. And you think that because your affections are on worldly stuff more than heavenly stuff. So if as I'm preaching you're not all that thrilled, I ask you, ask the Lord to change your heart, to have higher affections, and see him there on the cross for you and your kind of earthly affections. And just say, oh Lord, help me to love you more. Because Maya is really enjoying you now more than ever before. To die is gain for Maya, more than being in St. John Street. But for me, not so into it. So ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin and change you now. Maybe this will help. He wanted Maya's company in spite of her sin. He came for her because of her sin. And he prays this prayer. Father, this is Jesus praying now. I desire that they also, who you gave me, the disciples, but later Maya, who you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Basically, Jesus prayed a prayer about his disciples and Maya, and it went like this: Father, I want her with me. And on the whatever of October, what did I say it was, 19th, the Father answered Jesus' prayer. I want Maya with me. He said, okay. Now here's a question. If you have an argument with Jesus and you say, we want her with us in Ogmore Vale, and he's like, well, I want her with me in heaven, who's going to win that argument? Jesus. And on the 19th of October, the Father granted the answer, the half answer, because there's even more coming on the last day, for Maya. We lost the argument. Now, I liked Maya, and as her pastor, I like to think I would have given my life for her. But I don't really know. He did give his life for her. He did. He died because she was a sinner. He took her place. That's how much he loves her. And you, if you're a Christian. He's like, I want them now with me. So it was almost like, I can't wait anymore. Now's the time. 15th of October, 29th of October. Oh, when was the date? 19th of October. Okay, the Father says to the Son, Mary's coming. And she came. And we lost that argument. Now, how can we say we want her back if we want the best for her? We say, she's got the best. She's got the best. Last, what's the last thing that's happening to her now? I'm sure there's more, but it's the last of my points. She is with other blood-washed, saved sinners. Now, she's with us. Now, on Wednesday, I got people to list old names from this church that I'd never heard of. She's with them. She's with them. Did she have a best friend, Joe? Dill? Dill and Maya, two Christians. She is with Dill now, gazing upon the Saviour. Now, every one of you in this room, as we close, need to have individual dealings with Jesus. But Christianity is not individualistic. You are saved to join a group. A group. The family. And that's why the Hebrews verse, talking about people who have died and made perfect, says spirits. Plural. Spirits. So, 19th of October, she's gone. With Dill. It's not just sentimental now. This is rock solid biblical theology. I can say with the authority of the Bible, she's with her friends. Praising God. She's with her friends. And you know those moments in life where you have like sinless fellowship and friendship and nothing beats it. And it's like heaven on earth. And you see someone in Christ and you love them and you just want to hug them. You know those moments? Have you ever had those? Just better than sinful friendships. Those moments when you think, this is heaven on earth. That's literally happening now. And she's with her friends. And there's no ill will between them or suspicion. It's gone. It's like one hug of pure, untainted friendship worshipping their Saviour. Now you think of nice things about Myers' character. Those moments of heaven where you just saw her, him shining through her. Just beaming now with her friends in glory. Do you know she was big buddies with Spurgeon? He was dead. But she had his book morning and evening. And every day she read morning and evening. And I wonder, has she now thanked Spurgeon for writing that book to help her love the Saviour more? And she's worshipping with Spurgeon and the saints that have passed. I close. The last enemy is coming. It'll be cancer or a blood clot or a gunshot wound or a car crash. It is coming. And I charge the small group in front of me to love Jesus today so you're ready for that coming day. And to hate sin. And to say, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, even death is now ours. Death is ours because the sting has been taken away from it. And all death will do is chase me out of this body into his glorious presence. That's the best it can do. The sting has been taken away. Cancer, old age is just going to chase me to that better place. And we say as we close, thank you, Lord, for dying for sinners. For his name's sake, amen.